see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I have to say, when I was watching last night, I felt like shame. I'm like, why don't I remember some of these people? And then I realized I was Deputy White House Chief of Staff at the time and couldn't keep up with The Batch, so I gave myself a break.
Oh, so weird.
Yeah.
Well, it's like how, like, I'm so busy covering The Bachelor that I just don't have time to keep up with what's going on in the White House.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. So we are back. It feels like we were just here yesterday.
I'm so tired.
We were, and
I'm emotionally exhausted today. Like, I feel like it's been a year between yesterday's pod and today's pod because we all had to live through a 2-hour screaming match.
I can't believe that some people watch this episode when they are not professionally required to watch it. But we were
or heavily intoxicated.
Exactly. We're required to watch it, and we're going to break it all down. Today, we're joined by a very special guest, Lissa Mastromonaco, New York Times bestselling author. Her new book, So Here's the Thing, Notes on Growing Up, Getting Older, and Trusting Your Gut, came out yesterday.
Yay!
And if you buy a copy today, all proceeds go to RAIN.
RAIN, the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network.
They are also the ones that run the national hotline.
Yes.
They do incredible work.
93 cents of every dollar goes to helping survivors.
That's something that we support. So today's a great day to check out the book. Thank you so much for joining us.
You guys, I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you.
I'm out of the closet. I'm a full, hardcore Bachelor survivor. And when people texted me, you're smarter than this, I said, no, I'm not.
Who's smarter than this?
Like, no one.
Oh, none of us.
I only appreciate this show because I'm so smart.
Exactly. Delish.
Say. Yeah.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, last night was kind of like a brain blender.
All over the place. A lot of crosstalk. Okay, I have a question. I was thinking about Women Tell All and the structure of it and how this issue of women just screaming over each other seems to get worse every year, or maybe I'm just like getting older and more aware of it. Is there anything we think that could be done to like change up the format a little bit and make it less painful?
I mean, maybe they should just give the ladies a little less alcohol before they go on.
Ooh.
Don't you think?
Yeah, there's a lot of fireball shots are happening. I
feel like when Demi asked for a shot that it maybe wasn't the first one. I mean, those ladies are juiced up. Maybe it's steroids and they're roided up. I don't know, but there's something going
on. They're juiced up in combination with the promise of paradise if they stir some shit.
I think they need a conch shell that they can hold.
A talking
stick or shell or skull of an ex-contestant.
We have to assume they already know who the new Bachelorette is. So everyone's just competing for silver and bronze right now in paradise.
I do wonder, though, if they probably had a couple girls sign contracts.
Yeah.
And they probably have, I would guess, like
Kaylin and Hannah B.
Yes.
And maybe one or two, like, of the girls who are still technically left on the show.
Though after Hannah B's metamorphosis last night? Do we think, I mean, she went super meta. Do we think that she's going to go to the Batch in Paradise? I feel like it would be a real left turn, you know?
Yeah. No, I think Bachelorette.
She and Kaylin,
and we'll get into this, but she and Kaylin, to me, both had the sort of potential Bachelorette edits. It was like their audition time. And then, yeah, probably Hannah G or, you know, whoever doesn't. I mean, not Cassie.
We'll get into that.
But first, there were a lot of women on last night that I didn't remember.
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah. You want to run down the list, Claire?
Okay, so Colton's ladies, Alex B., Brie, Tajwan, who Chris just called Taj, which is unusual to announce someone with a nickname that is not the name that they use in their chiron.
I think that might have been her nickname in the show. I could be remembering wrong, but that...
I don't remember that. It was just sort of weird. Next, Jane, Alex D., Nina, Angelique, Tracy, Katie, Caitlin, Catherine, Nicole, Sydney, Courtney, Heather, Onyeka, Hannah B., Kerpa, Demi, Caitlin.
I'm going to say I had no idea who anyone was up until about Tracy. Like,
yeah, I think Nina was the one who fled war-torn Bosnia.
Yes. No, I did remember that. Alex D. is Sloth.
Right. Alex B. was the one who lost her voice.
Dogs.
Brie was the Australian accent.
Right.
Jane was the one who had a lot of opinions, even though she wasn't there for any.
She was actually the least memorable of all of those, like, first night, second night women.
I only remembered her because she had two names. Remember? It's like, her name is Adrian, but she goes by Jane.
I had no memory of that, even.
I didn't either.
Also, that doesn't make sense.
I was like, was I not here for the whole season? I watch everything. I DVR it in case I think I missed something so I could go back. And I was like, who are these women?
Yeah. I always forget how quickly I'm going to forget these women. I'm like, I'll remember.
But doesn't it feel like the season is shorter?
It is shorter.
Because we used to keep the women. At first, I'm like, is this early onset dementia? Like, is there a reason? I'm 43. Is it perimenopause? I can't remember anything. But then I'm like, they had to have been like more like 15 episodes and not like 8 or 9.
This is one shorter than usual. It's usually 12 weeks.
Really?
And this is a 10 or 11.
But our bodies are just so locked into the, like, rhythm of the show that they take out one episode and we're all like, oh, my gosh.
I mean, yeah, we might have remembered some of those castaways had they been around one episode longer. Yeah.
Exactly.
They always bring back a lot of Night One girls who have nothing to say.
Well, they have a lot to say, but nothing to contribute, and that is the problem.
Elise is not there, some people noticed.
Apparently she had a wedding. I believe it was like a destination wedding, not her own.
Elise was Disney World, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she went to the theme park with
Colton. She was another cougar. Maybe she didn't want to be cougared again on national TV.
Well, she dated someone younger than her, then by definition, she just is a cougar.
A cougar. 1 year younger.
Yeah, there's nothing that can be done.
I mean, it's true. Like, men need to be older.
Yeah, it was just nice to learn last night. Like, I have been a cougar. It's like I didn't even know, but now I can own that. It's like, again,
as I've mentioned before on the show, I have, in fact, been called a cougar for hooking up with someone less than a year younger than me. So felt pretty familiar. Just a 21-year-old cougar back then. So Chris kicks things off with a supercut of famous breakups and breakdowns in Bachelor history.
Did anyone find it weird that, like, Becca and Ari's breakup and, like, Peter and Rachel's weren't
Maybe
in there?
Maybe those felt too fresh.
They're too fresh. They're too soon.
Right. It was a real just walk down memory lane, and they're not quite a memory yet.
Right. Well, that's the thing. There are some of these that I really had kind of forgotten. I feel like we hadn't rewatched Des and Brooks's in a while.
And love it.
I think yesterday she definitely was going to pick Brooks. But in the clip, she says, I wanted to give my heart to you, which explains maybe why on some level I felt very convinced, although I didn't remember that scene at all.
Yeah, no, I was struck by that. I didn't remember that, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that was such a heartbreaking breakup. We saw, like, of course, the full Mesnick.
Yeah.
The crying over the balcony. Allie and Frank, which I had not seen in a very long time.
I never watched Allie's season.
I had seen, like, I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I wasn't watching at that point.
Yeah.
Kirk and Carly, which was, like, that one really broke my heart.
I have to say, when I was watching last night, I felt like shame. I'm like, why don't I remember some of these people? And then I realized I was Deputy White House Chief of Staff at the time and couldn't keep up with the batch, so I gave myself a break.
So weird. Yeah. Like, so I did just you gave more important things to be dealing with?
Not anymore.
Well, it's like how, like, I'm so busy covering The Bachelor that I just don't have time to keep up with what's going on in the White House. You know?
I will tell you, this is more stimulating than what's going on in the White House.
A lot more, like, brain cells to rub together in Bachelor Mansion. We are basically setting the scene to talk a little bit about the fence jump, which all the women just watched. You know, presumably for the first time with everyone else last night.
No, because this was filmed before.
Oh, right.
So I
You're
was
right.
thinking they must have had to spoil the whole live audience.
They probably watched it in
right
real
before,
time.
Yeah.
Like right before. So they were all seeing that devoid of context too for the first time. And he's just like, ladies, who wants to talk about this? Nicole. Sure. You have a lot of insight into Colton's psyche.
Colton's psyche. It's a whole college class.
Yeah. The women are all just like, wow, that was so raw. I don't know how he could ever date the other women now that he did that.
He will not be, I think.
Well, we'll see. At this point, we get an interstitial shot of Colton in the shower.
There were a lot.
What's wrong with this whole thing?
There's something very, very dystopian
about it. Do you
feel
like they're just trying to convince us that he's
sexual?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was,
and I gotta tell you,
my read on it.
The old shower shot, the shiny shower shot, doesn't convince me that he's sexual because he looks uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I too would be uncomfortable if there was a camera zooming in every time I put soap on my body.
Yeah. I have to tell you, do you guys, like, every time I see him, mostly anytime, even with clothes on, all I see is that he is actually the living, breathing intro to paradise. Remember, they throw the ball at him and he's like, zoink, Scoob, I missed it. That's who he is.
No, it really is. And then he's like, nailed it.
Nah.
Yeah, he would have been that quintessential jock, in the 50s, Grease style.
Where
he's running the track all blonde.
Gidget's
and
boyfriend moondoggy. Yeah. Like, that's who Colton would have been, except not sexual.
He really is the quintessential, he's hot, but he doesn't have game sort of jock. Some women find that appealing. Me, for example. I'm like, he's so innocent. It's adorable. But the shower shot started to get to me because it started somehow to feel like a weird reversal of the locker room sexploitation.
Yes.
Which is a connection I'd never really explicitly made before. And I was like, this is Porky's.
It's kind of the only place any Me Too movement has not made is the set of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
I mean, just everything's just a little bit 10 years, 10 years.
Yeah, they move it a slow.
They're like,
slow
it's subversive because we're doing it to a man. So.
And in plain sight.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's progressive.
But
I
think
we can all agree.
When they brought out, not to jump ahead, the Halo Top ice cream, which he ate in the shower, that was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I like Halo Top. I may never eat it again. It was like when my cat got all her teeth out and she couldn't really keep things in her mouth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
A great combination of hot, cascading water and a melting.
Melting non-ice cream ice
dairy,
cream.
Yeah, product. Yum. So that was great. We have to definitely talk about that later. But so we start getting into actually talking to the girls about their experience, the women, and they
immediately devolve into screaming.
Almost immediately. They talk a little bit about how hot they thought he was when they got there, how excited they were. Demi says she was excited to explore Colton's virginity and be in control in the bedroom. Is it wrong that I was a little turned on? I mean, no, but, I don't need to hear so much about it. That was one of the more endearing things that Demi said. Immediately, we start getting a supercut of Catherine doing the interrupting, the girls being mad about Catherine interrupting, and then Kaylin and Hannah talking shit about each other. I forgot all the things that Hannah had said, that Kaylin is a snake.
Yeah,
and
they really went in on each other at the beginning.
Yeah. And Colton getting all the warnings. Nicole and Onyeka's feud. We really just like roll back through the greatest
hits.
They're
like, remember how much you hated each other.
I loved the bits where they played all the stuff about people talking shit about Demi and how like shocked and appalled she looked. And I was like, Demi, you said worse stuff about everyone in the
everyone
house. You called someone a cancer and like you can't and now you're
we'll get to that
one. Someone's just like, oh, she's so juvenile, and she's like, oh my god, how dare they, can you believe
that?
I just called someone a cancer. That's
and
like barely
then,
anything.
Did
you
gotta see,
be able to take it
when she was in the when they were, she and Courtney were getting into it, and she, I just need to know if you guys picked up on this, and she takes her hand out and pretends it's a phone and she says, security, do you remember that from Bon Cui Cui? Do you remember Bon Cui Cui?
No.
The Comedy Central skit? Anyway,
no.
I was like, is she channeling that, or did she, which would be rad, or is she just doing that on her own, which would be sad? So I was like,
I'm going to guess the latter.
I might have to post it on Twitter later, side by side, and see if I'm wrong.
I have a lot of gaps in my cultural knowledge, but if it's something that happened,
I have to be
a
honest.
Long time ago,
oh, on Mad TV?
Yes, Mad TV.
I vaguely remember this.
And she was,
yes.
She worked at Burger King. You can have your burger your way. but also, I will send it because I am much older than you guys. And I think that it may be a little before your time, but maybe not some of the other ladies who enjoy The Bachelor age appropriately.
That's true. I would wonder if Demi, you know, is maybe really deep into Mad TV reruns, but she's pretty young.
Now, now that I've thought about
it,
I realize that she just thought she made that up on her own.
I mean, she should have called for security because, I mean,
security.
She is in danger. Chris starts with Catherine. She's like, look, I put my life on hold to come meet Colton, and I kept getting interrupted, and I was there to get to know him. Tajwan is furious. She's like, this is The Bachelor. It's not the Catherine show. You're canceled. And Catherine says, didn't you go home night one? And this really sets the tone for just a really
classy,
annoying series of clashes between women I'm not interested in.
Wow, alternate title for Women Tell All.
Wait, you guys understand that my dream is that despite being married very happily for the past 5 years almost, that I want to just be on The Bachelor and show up in my caftan and my clogs, fucking stoned. And I just want to, like, bring it into those ladies and watch their heads explode being like, wait a minute, she didn't take fen-fen, which I got illegally from Mexico, to be really thin and tan to get on this show, because I just think their heads would all explode. They would think it was so unfair that a normal weight, middle-aged woman got on.
Well, they'd be like, where is your microblading, man?
That's...
Honestly, they would probably find it really comforting until you got a rose night one.
They'd be like,
they would be like, what is he looking for? I don't understand.
Be like, guys, watch Unreal. The producers are going to make him keep her around because she's the Mrs. Garrett of the house, and she brings peace.
And she's going to mess with their heads, right? They're going to start thinking, like, does he want sort
of a... Is this what you want?
Yeah.
Is this what you see for your life?
If you want her, you don't want me. A 23-year-old whose
Instagram
main
model.
Interest is her sorority sisters.
Exactly.
So Onyeka has decided it's time to have her...
Moment in the sun.
Her moment, and saying, you know, everyone else was talking shit about each other behind each other's backs. I just said people's faces. Does that make me a bully? My argument is maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. We all need to vent sometimes, but, like, you don't have to, like, tell people you hate them. Nicole says, well, I really experienced bullying from Onyeka, and it seems like most of the women in the house do not agree.
Yeah.
It seems like they were not on Nicole's side. And in fact, some of them, especially Nina, starts saying, you know, I really was bullied growing up, and it is insulting that you think that what you experienced with Onyeka was bullying. And I'm curious what you guys took away from this.
I don't know that bullying victim is like an identity in the same way that like it's not necessarily like an insult to bullying victims to say you felt bullied.
Right.
If it wasn't as severe. Like, does that make sense? Like, there are certain situations
there are
where, like,
of bullying.
Right. And there are certain situations where claiming a victimization can be insensitive to to a group, but like this didn't quite feel like that to me. I'm not it seems a little unclear whether Onyeka was bullying. I mean, ultimately, Onyeka was mean to Nicole. That's
right.
True. And it seems like some of the women were suggesting that perhaps Nicole was also mean. I mean, maybe they're all just mean.
But also, yeah. Can we just for real for a minute? They're on a contest. This is a contest. They are contestants. Does anyone think they're showing up to this show and that everyone's just going to hold hands and braid each other's hair? I don't really want to hear about their bullying. I don't care. What did you think was going to happen? It's like when they start talking about their walls. Really? You got walls. Why'd you come on the show? Did you think being on national television?
No, they have to break down the walls in order to get their great love, who is this one man that someone else has picked for them.
And you know what? Breaking down those walls on national television, definitely the easiest way to overcome.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I plan to go on television.
I can't wait.
So I can, you know, experience my therapy in the public eye. It seems like the
though I will say,
I'll
come out of it very well adjusted.
There was much more therapy in this season than in past seasons, I feel like.
Really?
Don't you think? Well, it's like we had Hannah Beast.
Right.
Okay. I mean, she just found herself on the show. Totally changed.
She did.
New person.
A real improvement from
beginning
to end.
I mean, again, we'll see if she really is improved, because if she shows up on The Bachelorette or Batch in Paradise, I'm not going to think much of her metamorphosis. And then, you know, Kaylin, she shared some deep truths and, you know, bared her soul. I just felt, you know, I thought it was a little bit more revelatory, I guess, than past seasons.
I think that's true. There were certainly moments. It was like a real whiplash situation for me. Like, I'd be like, wow, that there's growth, or like, that's something that's really interesting that we haven't seen. And then it was like, everyone asked their father's permission to do anything. And it was just a lot of back and forth. I had a lot of mixed emotions.
They should really eliminate that part of the show, or at least make it both parents or the family, I don't know. But the pop's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Pop permission.
Yeah. No, that was really hammered home this season, more so than in past seasons.
Seriously.
It's this was all such a maelstrom of,
yeah, I'm like,
of
how,
shouting.
How do we even
Did we talk about how Onyeka stands up and delivers a sort of definition of what she thinks bullying is?
Yeah, clearly
that did
she
not
like,
sound clinical to me.
She googled dictionary.com bullying. She's like, remember this. This will be my moment. And then Chris is like,
and then
she says,
can you give one example of when I did that? And Nicole starts to talk and Onyeka is like, see, thank you, next. And I was like, she was answering you.
Yeah.
So you didn't really prove anything. And then Nicole says, this is a great example of bullying, but everyone's busy applauding Onyeka. And then Nicole stands up to say her piece. And the only example she can ever come up with is that Onyeka thought she was emotionally unstable because she
cried a lot,
which is not like a pattern of behavior. It seems like one mean comment.
Right.
So I'm not, again, like, this is one of many team neithers that I've.
Yeah, a whole lot of team neither.
Sydney says Onyeka is just there to make noise, and she picked on Nicole because she knew that Onyeka was going home. And Onyeka says, at least I didn't go home like a coward like you did.
That didn't make any sense.
How did Sydney go home like a coward? I guess the brave thing is to wait for Colton to, like,
reject you,
decapitate your courtship with his broadsword.
True story. I had to rewind that twice on DVR last night. I'm like, did I miss it? What'd I miss?
None of it made any sense. They taped for, like, 5 hours, and they edit it down to an hour and a half
and this
of footage,
was the best.
and this is what they get.
Those were the golden moments.
Yes.
That's really upsetting. Like, I can only imagine what's on the cutting room floor.
Until he starts calling them to the hot seat, 60% of each conversation is unintelligible because they're shouting over each other.
No, it's like a howler monkey party.
Yeah. It's so unpleasant. Chris, you know, sort of wraps it up because they're all shrieking at each other.
Yeah, he keeps being like trying to get it under control, and it's not happening.
Yeah, I tried to write down the blow by blow, and like each sentence does not sequentially seem to follow the sentence after it. I'm like, what? is the logic here? So Chris is like, too much. Let's come back and talk about another topic, which is the warnings that were given to Colton. So unusual. Never happened before in Bachelor history that like five separate women on their way out have been like, Colton, my boy, be cautious.
It was like a Grimm's fairy tale.
It was.
Colton, I must warn you of danger ahead. But also, why does he take that shit seriously? He looks so wounded. He was like, what am I? He got that. Okay, got to talk about this. Did you guys notice that in like the last three episodes, his pupils were dilated and never got right again?
No.
Did you watch? You got to go back and look. It's weird. It was like after he started getting some of those warnings, his eyes got really wide.
And they never returned.
And I saw it last night and I was like, is it, Alyssa, is it his darker hair that is making? No. I zoomed in.
So what would cause that?
Fear? I don't know. No.
Would Xanax?
Because
if I were him, I would be on a lot of Xanax.
It looked like some sort of like body confusion or paralysis in the fight or flight reaction to what was happening.
Oh, I mean, what's happening is that he deep down knows they're talking about Cassie. And he is so upset. He's like, I can't.
He's like, this is the only person I actually like.
But here's the problem with the whole show and our criticism of some of the women is that one of the women they were constantly warning him about was Cassie.
Yeah.
And they were right.
Oh, they were totally right.
But also, it doesn't matter because he's into her.
Right. That's the thing. I think he knew. And even when he found out that it was definitely Cassie, he was, like, deeply shaken by it, but it didn't make him want to get rid of Cassie. He was just like, is there a way that maybe they're all wrong or I can convince her to love me?
And how about when he's like, he was like, but we don't have to get married. We don't have to get engaged. Just stay. We don't have to get engaged. And she was like, bye.
Poor Colton.
Yeah, everyone was right about Cassie. But it's just that's not what he was basing his decision on, unfortunately. But this is the first chance we've really had to hear
from Katie.
From Katie, who was kind of the instigator.
Not in a negative way. I mean, she.
I don't know if she was the first one, but she was
the one who actually heard the conversation, and that is where the rest came from.
Right. She precipitated the bulk of the warning drama. But she was gone when those conversations were happening. And so Chris asked Katie about it. And she says there were things that people on the show were saying about what they wanted in their lives that were not aligned with what Colton wanted. And I just wanted to warn him about that. And Kaylin pipes up here. Kaylin has a very emotional night, and here she says, you know, what you said really affected my relationship with Colton profoundly, and I wish that you had named names because instead you threw every relationship in the house under the bus. So what she's implying here is that she thinks that she was not actually one of the people.
But she knows she was.
Right.
Really weird.
Yeah, it was very bizarre. And so Katie is like, well, I was mainly talking about you and Cassie and the Bachelorette conversation that we had heard so much about, but not directly from Katie, having to do with one winning and one being the Bachelorette, happened in the bus on the way to Singapore, I think.
Yeah.
And Kaylin says, well, we were like worried about each other that, you know, we're best friends. If one of us got engaged, what would it do to our friendship? And so we said if one of us were engaged at the end, not winning, but engaged,
sure,
they would want the other person to be Bachelorette and find love. And then she says Katie admitted that to her on the phone after they had both gotten off the show. Katie.
This was just.
Looks gobsmacked.
Yeah, she is.
Gobsmacked is
so
the right word.
Angry.
She like couldn't close her mouth.
She said she was. Did she say she was shaking from anger? She's like, I hate this.
Yeah. She tried to stay very calm.
Yeah.
She's like, I really hate this. She was like, I really thought that you would come out tonight and say, I wish I hadn't said that. It was an innocent thing to say. And I was guarding my heart, but I wish I hadn't said it in that exact way. but instead you're saying this other thing and lying about what I said, and I'm confused.
It seems like a really dumb lie also.
So yeah. I have to be honest, I found that so confusing that I fast-forwarded through that part.
Because it was very confusing.
I was like, what? I mean, first, here's the problem. I rewound first, and then I was like, God damn it, I can't even, I'm a smart woman and I can't keep up with this, and I had to just like zoom past that part because it was inane.
Also, it's like they just are telling different versions of the same story, and like we have no recording, we have no proof. I think it's likely, like, there, Katie doesn't have anything to really lose or gain here. So I'm tend to believe her, but I also think, like, who cares that if they talked about winning the show, like, just admit it and say and move on. Like, it really is an innocent. It sounds like an innocent conversation to me.
I have some feedback for the producers of The Bachelor, other than that they shouldn't troll Khloe Kardashian, because that seems like a bad idea. So when people are accusing each other of the talking and who said what, why are we not seeing some raw footage?
Because they do not tape during in transportation.
Yeah, they don't tape. Yeah. So a lot, this is not the first time that a conversation about between two contestants about possibly becoming the lead after the season ends occurred in a van during transport and then was sort of reported on by an unfriendly contestant who overheard. That also happened, was that Dez's season?
That sounds, maybe. It sounds familiar. I mean, and also the Crystal stuff happened in a van.
Right.
Peter.
Yeah.
So I think, understandably, the contestants are aware that they can say things that they wouldn't want on tape, or they can be a little more candid when they're, like, on a plane or in a van.
Or you've heard before about, like, oh, she was, like, gave her number to a guy at the airport when we were on our way to an international date. It's like they're not, like, really filming you in the airport. Except for their, like, stock footage of everyone being like, oh, my God,
we're here.
Yeah, so that always happens. I don't know why people continue to feel like it's this great loophole, because there's always someone else there who's willing to sell them out.
But I also think that the show has leaned into the, like, almost the lack of confirmation, because it's more beneficial for them to just have women in conflict with each other than to have continuity. You know, the way that, like, a Bravo show would. Like, they would play, you know, they would play that footage over and over and over again.
Right. And it's better for them. It's better for them if we're all unsure.
Exactly.
Who's to blame. But the thing is that people are really lining up against Kaylin here. So Kirpa says Kaylin also told her on the phone that it happened the way Katie said. Which makes it sound like Kaylin got on the phone with a bunch of people. And we're like, yeah, I said it. I did. I definitely said it. And I'll admit it, too. And then she gets
very
on camera
weird.
And is like, nope, I never said that.
Nope.
Why would she do that? It's very weird. Then this is when Jane pipes up.
Oh, Jane, who are you? Why are you there? Please, I hope you're not on Paradise.
None of them know who you are. Like, you're not part of this. Jane says, well, I think, Kaylin, I think you're classy and you weren't talking shit about other women.
Kaylin's
like
probably like, who are you?
But, like, she's not going to say no to some support.
She's like, thanks, Sarah.
Kaylin is talking about how, you know, she was really in love with Colton and it was disgusting for Katie to say that she wasn't ready for marriage or to, like, presume to know that another woman was or wasn't ready for marriage. And Katie's like, well, I'm just saying, I heard you talk about what you wanted out of, you know, your life right now, and it was different from what marriage to Colton would look like. And Kirpa says she also heard about Kaylin sliding into other contestants' DMs. Which is, like, the perennial, like, she's not here for the right reasons revelation in the social media age.
Which, like, again, I'm sure they all do it.
Like, Colton did it, too. So he and Kaylin actually have a lot in common. Chris asks Hannah to chime in. And she says that she remembers the bus conversation and it was more what Katie said, but she doesn't want to get involved.
She's like, I will get involved, but I do not want to be involved. Right.
And then Jane, hi, Jane, why are you still here? Says, well, of course you would side with Katie. And Hannah's like, Jane, why are you?
Who are you?
What are you doing? And it's just like, well, I'm just saying, like, obviously you would side with her and not with Kaylin. Like, obviously, of course. Like, it's like just inviting a viewer of the show.
Right. Like, I mean, that is as much. Jane knows as much as we do about what took place.
Guys, that is literally what Batch in Paradise needs to do. They need one super fan.
They've done it.
They have.
When?
Not like Bachelor Pad era.
Bachelor Pad, they brought fans on and it was terrible.
Oh. They should bring me on as a consulting producer. I really feel like I could make magic here.
Interesting. What was bad about it? I'm curious. Like,
it was just
because it does seem like it could spice
it. It was. It wasn't compelling. Like, it just wasn't compelling. And everyone was sort of like, "Why are these people here?" Like, it just.
But here's,
it messed up the dynamic, right. And none of the people they cast were like interesting enough to make it work. I don't know.
It's like. All of the contestants who are on always act like they've never watched The Bachelor.
I mean,
they don't understand the premise of the show or understand what to expect.
I think
what they could do is
they could have fans come on and like give advice, be like consultants to them rather than like be in the same role as the
I would like to see more of an integration, like the way we started to see celebrity fans more and more being included.
Yeah.
They show up on dates, they give like marriage advice, etc. But yeah, I don't also remember when Ashley Eyes' sister came on Paradise and was such a dud. Like,
I forgot.
That's
about
the thing
that.
when they just bring random people on as new contestants when they haven't built, they've had no history with the franchise. I don't think it really works.
I think
works.
There's probably too much of a clear divide. Like, everyone else knows what they're doing and is comfortable with the producers and knows how to be on camera, and you're the only one who's brand new.
Yeah, I just don't think it works. It's a weird dynamic.
And in another way, like, every season is just a bunch of Bachelor super fans.
Well, at this point, yes.
Although they often pretend they're not.
They're like, what do you mean? It's a competition.
And then Chris asks Hannah more specifically about her age-old drama with Kaylin. And Hannah has clearly, like, practiced her response to this. She says, we're like oil and water. We just don't mix. We don't get along. But I don't want to get into the details of what happened because we've moved past it. And we don't have to be, like, friends, but we can support each other. And Kaylin agrees. And Chris is very impressed. And then we get to move on.
Bachelor detente.
It's just such a great lesson in, like, there is a way to completely shut conflict down if you want that.
Yeah, stop talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say, like, we're moving on. And
we're good.
They have to move on. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with a lot more about last night's Women Tell All with Alyssa. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp,
HELP.com/love to see it. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness?
Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or former Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops,
and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And then we get into the Cougar Club.
And I am definitely in the Cougar Club already. I don't need to get into it, if you know what I mean. Sorry, guys. That was bad.
Demi is very insistent that she did not coin the term.
She's right.
Older women.
Yeah. She didn't coin the term.
She came up with it.
But she's saying that basically the 27 and older women.
Older, quote unquote.
Already called themselves the Cougar Club.
But like, I do feel that that's the kind of thing that you could joke about yourself, but perhaps wouldn't want someone else like lording over you.
Right.
Right. If you are with a pal and you're in a room and you're like, I don't know, 31 and everyone else is 23 and you'd be like, haha, I guess we're the Cougs. I don't want the 23-year-old
exactly.
talking behind my back being like, bitch is a cougar. Because you know it's not said in a nicer,
funnier, or ironic
way.
She keeps calling them desperate. Yeah. Like, these desperate cougars are, like, stinking up the mansion. Yeah. And I was like, okay, so this is, you're not in on this joke. So Courtney says, well, you were saying it to shame them. And Demi says, shut up, I'm not talking to you right now.
Oh, God. And then thus begins the most painful back and forth.
Don't know about you guys. I was always told I could not say shut up growing up.
Yes.
Yeah. So the shut up is tough.
I still have a visceral response to it.
The shut up was hard.
You are grounded.
Shut up and you are stupid are two things that you do not say.
The
S words.
Oh, no. My parents were very, you cannot say shut up.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll say it like jokingly and I'll still have this feeling of like a shiver all over my body. Like
I have done wrong.
And I keep it at, shut it, not shut up.
Right.
Shut
no, that's it. Good.
Yeah, it's dumb, but it's okay.
Feels more playful. It's hard for shut up to not. And Demi clearly means it to be really nasty. And this is the first point where I was sort of, you know, Courtney could have not said anything. But everything Demi said was not only wrong, but like really kind of cruel. And so I was confused that the energy and applause of the audience was behind Demi.
So I'm going to tell you why.
Is it because she's blonde?
No.
It is, though.
No.
It's largely because she's blonde.
I can't stand. Nobody can see this, but I have gray hair that I dye brown, okay? I'm not like pro team blonde. There was something about the fact that the show was so not entertaining up to that point that it was just row, 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 that like for some reason when she got going and she had a couple good zingers, I was like, I tuned in. OK, I perked up. I'm not going to lie. And I know you don't agree with me. But when she apologized for the cancer remark and went straight to saying you're not cancer, you're bed bugs, I howled. I'm sorry. I did. I thought it was really funny.
I hated it.
An entertainment to her cruelty. But like I just have a visceral like. And I think Claire feels this too. Like when the mood of the audience is so supportive, and especially just like when I see it, these like petite blonde white women just attacking a black woman and everyone's cheering. Like I just react.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that.
It made my skin crawl, and not because of the bed bug remark, but it did not help.
Let's be clear. They were both behaving very poorly.
And Courtney kind of ramps up to a really bad conclusion.
Let's just stipulate there was no aspirational behavior last night.
No.
There was no one that I was like, that's my new role model, which usually there is. So Demi at this point says that her definition, or not even her definition, but anyone who dates someone younger than them is classified as a cougar. Yeah. Obviously, she only means women because she never says this about Colton, who's dating a lot of 23-year-olds.
Oh, no. Mm. It's only about women, obviously.
Anyone younger than them at all.
At all.
Wow. And then she says, you know, I was one of the youngest girls, big personality. I was a target, and I was just clapping back. I feel like there is this, like, running confusion about whether, you know, young women and older women face the same kind or equivalent levels of discrimination on this show. And I kind of – it was just getting on my nerves. I was like, do you really think you were – targeted because you were one of 9 23-year-olds that Colton found really hot and desirable?
No, it's actually like a real testament to her self-esteem.
Yeah.
That she – let's just talk. I mean, it's not even self-esteem. She's definitely in hubris territory. Yeah. But she's just like, I am so hot, so young, so blonde, so cruel that they, of course, targeted me because I was going to win.
Right, exactly. Which, like, she definitely was not.
She
ever
was never going to
win.
Ever.
Win.
She was the entertaining –
and I think
mean
she did.
Girl.
She did know that.
Eventually.
She leaned into that character, but she also, you know, had this sensitive side to her that she.
That's true.
It's again real whiplash for me when we went.
Wait,
from, like,
remind
the
me what was her sensitive
to,
side again? Her mom.
Her mom.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, yeah.
I'm saying
mom's
real,
in federal
real
prison.
Whiplash.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
She now? She's now out of federal prison.
Yeah, she just got out.
Yes.
Good luck.
It's also worth noting that I feel like. We heard a slight hint that Courtney had had kind of a difficult childhood, and she then that was just, like, never really explored.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Right. Like, she talked about how she had to be mature because she had so many young relatives that she was expected to help care for. Not that she was, like, you know, we didn't hear any detailed, like, tales of trauma, but that she clearly felt like she had had a lot of responsibility on her shoulders from a young age. But Demi is the one that we hear a lot about. Tracy sort of complains about how Demi was taking the fun in the house to an annoying level, like splashing Colton and Tracy when they were having serious conversations.
How was she supposed to know it was a serious conversation?
How was she supposed to know? And then Courtney's like, it doesn't matter if you knew. I'm like, it sort of matters. It's like, I don't know.
But, I mean, who is having a serious conversation in a pool? I mean, I don't know. Maybe they do, but I kind of see her point.
Maybe they were, like, by the pool? Or maybe it was the pool party.
Oh, the
I'm trying to remember
party.
When they were by the pool. Doesn't matter. Demi complains about how Courtney asked her to tone down her personality, which she would never do for anyone.
Ever.
Ever.
You don't turn the volume down.
No. Oh, not even for a single moment.
No.
Doesn't matter. Like, church, you funeral. Doesn't matter. Demi's gonna Demi.
Oh, that girl at a funeral. So help us.
I don't want to think about it. Chris asked Demi about how she, you know, encouraged Courtney to get time with Colton in Singapore. And Nina.
So magnanimous.
So kind.
Generous.
She really just cared about Courtney. And Nina starts saying, well, chiming in, you know, maybe you regret how you spent your time with Colton, don't you think? And whenever this topic comes up, Courtney just shuts down. Like, she doesn't seem to want to talk about why she never talked to Colton.
Why did she?
I mean, I'm sure the producer, like, you have to be given the green light to talk to Colton by a producer. You can't just run and get him. So.
Really?
I don't know. I feel like she would have said that.
No, she wouldn't have. She would not have blamed production. They're under contract.
Maybe she'll speak out.
Yeah, I want to hear her you know, notes.
Yeah,
app
I mean, I also think she
Twitter.
Probably wasn't very assertive about it. It's probably a combination.
So now Demi gets to come to the hot seat. This is our first hot seat of the episode. Yet I feel like we've been talking forever. We see her montage. By the time the montage is over, and we're reminded, and I'd already forgotten that she had a very emotional exit where she basically told him she was falling in love with him.
I love you.
As she came to his room, not during a date, to tell him that, and then he immediately sent her home.
And that was the most I enjoyed her, when she was, like, crying and vulnerable.
Yeah, so we cut back to her in the hot seat. She's verklempt. She's like, I have a hard shell and being vulnerable is very hard for me. And seeing myself being vulnerable makes me emotional. It's hard to watch herself suffer, as I'm sure we can all relate to.
Also, how many times do we have to listen to people about it's hard to be vulnerable? Again, why go on the show? What do you think you're going to do? Well, show up like a brick wall and someone's going to be like, let me marry you.
It's also like everyone says it, like, it's hard for me to be vulnerable. It's
right.
Like the
it's
word vulnerable
easy for everyone else. Claire.
Vulnerable in itself implies
difficult.
Yes.
Difficulty.
Revelatory. Yes.
It implies that you are being left exposed to pain or damage. That's what the word is.
Right. That is inherently a scary thing.
Yeah. Everyone feels like they're unique in that. And then she says she's very confident in her sexuality. She embraces it. It's 2019. She's promiscuous.
Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad.
I mean, you know, get down. Get down with yourself.
Yeah.
No shame.
Oh, God. You know, that really is foretelling her Bachelor in Paradise status.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but like, you know, we're a pretty sex positive podcast here, so.
Yeah.
You hook up with whoever you want to hook up with, dummy.
Totally. I mean, it's the way that they talk about it sometimes, it's like so performative. Like,
yeah.
I'm just a hot little blonde who loves sex that like that starts to get on my nerves. There's totally nothing wrong with enjoying sex. Chris brings up the questions about her maturity level. And she's like, I know who I am, and I'll be that way forever. And that's what maturity really is.
Not evolution. I mean, if I was who I was at 23.
Well, right.
That's maturity. That's mature. Like, have you changed since then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds immature.
I'd say I'm better person, making better decisions with better friends.
No, can't do that. I mean,
not better, different friends.
I guess if you stay the same the rest of your life after you reach 23, in a way you have fully matured by 23 because your maturity process has literally stopped. But I don't know if that's like a good thing.
No,
brain is still developing.
Correct.
That's the thing. Like perhaps having life experiences, whatever those experiences are, shapes you. And that's a good thing because you have more information to process, more things that you've gone through. And that's just literally a fact of the passage of time.
Yeah.
When you have lived more years on this earth, you have lived more years on this earth and experienced things. And that is to acknowledge that is not to devalue the perspectives of young people and specifically young women, because that happens all the time. But it's also not offensive to young women to point out that people mature as they get older. Like, I am 31 right now. I hope in 10 years that I have gained maturity and wisdom and life experiences.
God,
and that's
really
okay.
So if I'm still like this in 10 years, I'm going to be really upset.
No, let me tell you guys something. So last night, I did an event with Valerie Jarrett where she...
Casual.
Former Obama White House senior advisor. And she, in front of the entire room of women, was like, Alyssa, I'm going to tell them the email you sent me 2 years ago. And I was like, I knew exactly what she said. And I said, okay, girl, you can just do it. And it was an email where I apologized to her. I was 41 years old when I sent the email. I apologized to her for acting a bit insane sometimes when we were working in the White House together. That, like, I knew I was younger and that I didn't handle things the best way that I could sometimes. But, like, guys, Demi, girl, aspire to greater.
Yeah,
like,
constantly.
Evolve.
Constantly
evolve.
Aspire to greater. So she also sort of addresses with Tracy the question of whether she was actually just too immature to get married. Tracy feels like maybe the wearing a robe all the time thing was an indication that she wasn't really serious. And Demi's like, no, I really wanted to marry Colton by the end.
Okay.
That's what I wanted. And Tracy wouldn't understand because she left a few weeks earlier. Tracy's like, excuse me, 1 week. Let the record reflect that it was 1 week earlier. Thank you. Chris asks Demi about her mom. She said she was embarrassed. She was scared to tell Colton because his family is so perfect. But he responded really well. That is something that Colton did pretty well with.
Yeah.
And she says she talks to her mom on FaceTime every day. They both live in Texas, but not close together. And her mom is happier than she's ever been. She loves Demi so much. She's proud of her. She's proud of how Demi did on the show. it was just a beautiful story of a mom and a daughter who support each other unconditionally.
I mean, I feel an e-true story coming on.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Demi would love that.
Yeah. We got another shot of Colton soaping up in the shower, really working up a lather. They did pre-film those, right?
Yes.
Had to.
Okay. Yes. And then
I thought so. I just wanted to check.
I mean, we can't be positive.
We can't be positive, but I'm going to
I was just like,
say,
what if you didn't pre-film it and then
Colton
he like
looked
slipped
very
and,
dry
like,
when he came out.
Getting his.
Do you want to know? So here was the one telltale. He seemed more tan at the show than he did in the shower.
Oh, my God. And someone pointed out on Twitter, and I wish I could remember who it was, that he had clearly gotten a spray tan and
yes,
then shaved.
Because it was all messed up.
So it was all like his jawline was like pale and the rest of him was orange.
Not to be a smaller petty person. What was wrong with his tie? Did you guys notice it?
Everything about him looked
no,
a little
I
bit
No, I was
askew.
Confused by his hair. Okay, but we'll get to that.
All right.
First,
pin.
Okay. Nicole pin. Is in the hot seat. And Chris immediately is like, here's some tissues, because you cry a lot.
She loves it. She's like, I do cry a lot.
Is this where we get that, like, mashup of her crying about a lot of things and all of the women being like, that girl cries day and night.
Yes.
he asks if she's always emotional or if it was just the environment. And she says both. Her mom is a psychiatrist. She was always taught to show emotion.
I mean, not a bad thing. Crying is not a bad thing. I want to say that again.
I agree.
Guys, I love crying. Okay, it's like you cry, you move on, it's fine.
It's actually very healthy.
But I actually felt like she was using it as a tool.
Interesting.
I don't believe, so here's the thing, and I have written about this, so I'm on the record. I believe in showing your emotions and crying when the spirit moves you. I don't believe in manipulative crying because it gives all other crying a bad name. And I feel like she manipulatively cried in some of the episodes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There is a fine line.
I don't know fine how line. To manipulatively cry.
I just
like, I can't make myself cry.
No, it just I just
sometimes
cry.
It happens at a time that seems manipulative. That's not my choice. It just happens.
You have to be a special kind of person to have the ability to manipulatively cry, and I think she does.
See, I always feel nervous that someone's going to think I am manipulatively crying, so I feel the need to be like, I'm not that upset right now. I'm just crying, and I cannot help it. Like, I cry very
Some
easily.
Some of us have very shallow tear ducts. Yeah. she doesn't actually really cry during her time in the hot seat. She talks about her twin brother who has autism. She says she's his best friend and his only friend, which
That's
I found unsettling.
Severe.
Yes.
And that kind of worried me. But she clearly loves him very much. She talks about wanting to make her family proud. And then they wheel out a special gift for her, a Halo Top cart. She is getting a year's supply of Halo Top.
I mean, I just don't understand why I don't get gifted ice cream when I cry on my couch.
Well, like, you tried. Emma was out here tagging every ice cream maker on Twitter last night.
I know. Our standards,
I was like, Emma, you're a journalist.
Our standards editor was like, Emma, I'm like, it's just a joke, Vic. Don't
worry.
Yeah,
it's a joke until they start sending you shiploads of ice cream.
Yeah,
and then you have to, like, send them back ice cream and it's awkward.
And I'll be like, I'm not writing an article about 16 handles.
But also, how about Chris being like, this is my Oprah moment? No, you're never Oprah. It's not your moment. Don't ever utter her name again. Sorry.
Yeah,
guys, the new
keep
Oprah.
Her
truly,
name out of your mouth.
Truly
Chris
the Oprah
forever.
The Bachelor. So everyone's getting Halo Top. Colton is eating Halo Top in the shower, which, as we discussed, is
gross.
Horrifying.
Gave me a stomach ache that persisted until I went to sleep. And I just want to say, personally, that if I were Nicole, and after all of this, what I got was, like, calorie-free ice cream instead of Haagen-Dazs, I would feel cheap.
Ben and Jerry's. Give me Ben and Jerry's.
Exactly. Ben and Jerry's. Even, you know what?
Ugh.
Even Breyers. You know?
Yeah, I'd take Breyers.
Milk cream sugar, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Halo Top is...
Like, I can't help but feel like there's a little bit of, like, eat some ice cream, girl, but don't gain too much weight.
Yeah,
if
he's
you
like,
want to be in Paradise.
It's not going to look cute on Paradise.
Totally.
Next up in the hot seat is Hannah B. Hannah B was, like, interesting to me. She's getting a lot of Bachelorette buzz now, and she was very poised and didn't get a bad edit last night. But I didn't really see her getting a bachelorette edit either, because she didn't sell to me that she was heartbroken by Colton.
She wasn't heartbroken enough.
Yeah.
Right. Like, she didn't have to me, she, like, what's her narrative at this point?
Well, this is the problem. She didn't really have one. And the story she told us last night was that she was this new and improved person, and she wanted to, okay, hold on. I almost forgot about this part. Hannah B. must have said 30 times she wanted to love fiercely.
Oh,
and
yes.
She said it so many times that I realized, I'm like, what am I thinking? What am I thinking? Do you remember when Carrie Bradshaw broke up with Alexander Petrovsky?
Yes.
The diamond necklace comes off and she's got the diamonds in her boobs and she's cupping them and she's like, I want to love with my whole heart.
Yes.
Okay, that's not, first of all, I was like, is she old enough to have ever watched that?
I don't think so.
Well, to all the women over 35.
I'm sure everyone's watched Sex in the City.
Well, I hope so.
I mean,
but I didn't watch it in real time. I watched it later.
That was nearly verbatim. Sex in the City, I think, final episode was 15 years ago this week.
Love.
Yes. Also, when she left.
All consuming love.
Yes.
I love
when she left.
Love it.
When she
I love
gave
it. You
that
can't
monologue,
stop me.
When she went during her exit, I had the same thought. And also, this a third thing that is giving me the same feeling is Cory Booker talking about love.
Oh.
He's always saying very similar things that are very Carrie Bradshaw-y. Like, we have to have wild, impractical, like,
just
love for our country.
Understand what I'm going to do with that on Twitter, because that's genius, and it's going to happen.
It's just all coming together.
And I'm sure he'll be down with it.
I mean, I would love to see him do a campaign ad that's just, like, Carrie Bradshaw.
Oh, guys, it's going to happen.
Bachelor. No, it's,
he's like, his chief of staff is calling SJP right now.
She's like, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Stella
she
Artois.
She just did it.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
but she's breaking. She no longer wants a Cosmo. She wants a Stella.
Yeah.
Which is funny
because
I had a Cosmo last night, because that's still how I celebrate.
We learned it from Carrie Bradshaw and we will never stop.
Her book party episode. Love
the cupcakes. Samantha had her facial peel.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember,
chemical,
she had the veil on.
And then she goes and gets gray papaya.
Yeah, with burger.
No,
with the limo driver. That was awesome.
This
remember,
is a Sex in the City podcast.
Yeah.
Now.
Just saying, sorry. And Burger couldn't handle the truth. Now we're into A Few Good Men.
Oh, my God. So, yes, Hannah B. is whipping out. Like, that is kind of her selling point, I guess, as her pitch for The Bachelorette is not really that she is devastated and doesn't feel lovable or how can she come back from heartbreak. It's, I'm the girl who wants the Carrie Bradshaw storyline, who wants to be loved, you know, completely and all-consumingly and fiercely.
She seemed to be leaning into her initial, like, faltering steps on the show by saying that she grew up with a very, very, very intense pressure to be perfect. To conform to this model in which you date a guy from your hometown, you get married right away after school, and you start popping out babies.
Spitting out babies.
That's how they come, actually, she wanted
more for herself, more like being the bachelorette.
Well, so here's the thing. She's talking about, like, the pageant background in her childhood and the pressure to be perfect and how hard it was to feel like you need to put forward what people want to see. And that is what she very clearly and, like, kind of abruptly learned how to do on The Bachelor. So she's talking about how she overcame that urge. But really what we're seeing is that after a really rough start, she very, like, suddenly snapped into Bachelor pageantry. Like, she learned how to present herself as what was expected from her on The Bachelor. And last night was her masterclass in that. She's like, I know how to act like a bachelorette now.
See, and I felt her story last night, her whole vibe, where Demi to me is an E! True Hollywood story. I felt Hannah Beast was really sort of coasting into Lifetime TV for women. Like, there's, like, a movie there, Too Perfect to Belong or something like that.
Yes.
You know, like, that she's going to tell her pageant story. And I feel it. You guys, you wait for it.
Yeah. I mean, it is also, like, it's such a classic rom-com trope of, like,
yes,
the girl who's, like, a little too uptight to like relax into love, but she wants it so desperately.
Well, here's the cautionary tale. She should watch Dumplin', because if she's not careful, she's going to end up as Jennifer Aniston in Dumplin'.
Oh, no. I haven't watched that yet.
Oh, it's so good. You got to watch it.
So she gets a chance for a do-over for one of her least pageant perfect moments of the season.
Her toast.
She was cute during this.
I'm with her.
This was cute.
The toasting is stupid.
I mean, toasting is stupid, but like, it's so easy to just be like,
say anything
to a great date, getting to know you.
Almost a nod to any authenticity she may have, because it's like, could you guys just imagine you're there and you're like, cheers to us tonight. I mean, I would vomit in my mouth.
That's why I wouldn't go on this show.
But I do. Yeah. It makes me feel like she has adjusted to this certain context. But it does make me feel like she doesn't know how to go off script. And
right.
When you're carrying a show, she's going to have to try out new scripts a lot. And I feel like I still don't really know if she can do it.
Didn't you feel – I did have a bit of a belly laugh when at the end she gets the end of her toast and she's like, roll tide.
Yes.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Her whole season would just be an ad for Alabama.
Totally. I mean, I'm not totally opposed to it. I find her a little bit like weird and charming.
I did love how she started like stretching. And
she clearly has a fun side to her. Yeah.
I was like watching between my fingers like a horror movie because I thought her boobies were going to pop out of her dress.
That was a great dress.
It was a great dress, but it is a risky dress.
Yes.
In terms of, she had lots of tape on, unlike Tayshia's.
Yeah. So she gives her extremely, extremely long rambling toast that she clearly rehearsed.
She said.
And then Kaylin gets to come to the hot seat. We rewatch the breakup. When we return, Kaylin is in tears. She says, you know, it's hard to articulate basically the feeling of not being picked, not being loved back. But rewatching the show has reassured her that there was love there and it wasn't all in her head, which is something we've heard before from people who have gotten dumped on the show.
He told her, a real mind fuck. I get that.
Yeah. And he told her during the hometown that he loved her family so much. Sometimes I do feel like they say these things and I'm like, oh, you really read into something that he thought was like a pleasantry.
But
it's
also,
like, I love your family.
That's all you have.
Well, exactly.
Like, I get how you would do that. And that is what you would hang on to. Like that, I feel like, again, that's why I would be a fucking nightmare on this show.
No, I totally get it. It's just when she says it like that, you're like, oh, honey.
I know.
Like,
oh, honey, have you never watched the show before?
Yeah. I mean, it must be so miserable. She is shaking, much like Colton. And Chris then brings up her story of sexual assault and the reaction that had from the viewership. He hopes that she feels the love and appreciation. And she sort of talks about how it felt right to tell Colton about it in the moment. And now she has a lot of people sharing their stories with her every day.
Which I'm sure is extremely emotionally taxing and overwhelming.
Yeah. But she says, you know, this is a larger conversation and a movement. It's not a hashtag. It's not one conversation on The Bachelor, which is true.
I really liked that she said
Me
that.
Me too.
Like, whatever feelings you have about Kaylin, I do think that she... Like, this was handled really well.
Mm-hmm. I liked that they separated it from her other, more messy storylines and were like, this is still a valid thing.
Right, and let's give this the attention it deserves. And I appreciated that she – because there's a tendency to personalize things so much that you lose sight of, like, what the messaging on a larger scale around whatever these contestants are talking about might be. And I like that – Kaylin acknowledged that really directly and was like, this goes outside of this room, outside of my story. There are all these other stories. This is a movement. I thought that was great.
Yeah. I just realized that I think we did not talk about Courtney shoving a pacifier in Demi's mouth. Did we talk about
that? No, we didn't. But we did. We sort of referenced it, but like when we talked about her committing light assault.
Let's just say it was really
bad.
Tacky.
It was terrible.
Yeah. Tacky.
And
not good.
Unacceptable to like physically touch someone like that.
Also, like if a producer tells you to don't do that.
Don't do it.
It's a terrible idea. you will not come off well. It, yeah. Just
because here's the problem. That took a lot of effort.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's like uncool. It's,
yeah. It was clearly planned and it also was unacceptable.
And poorly executed, to be honest.
I mean, like, yeah, it was. But like also, what's a good execution of that? Like, it's just never going to go
well. I don't know.
Just don't do it.
Maybe if she had done like the pacifier lollipop ring or something. I don't know.
Yeah. What you need is something that's sort of like witty and cutting. But
right.
That you don't have to like shove the person. No. But also you don't need them to like accept it. Like if you walked over and were like, I got you this pacifier, they can just not take it. And
right.
That's awkward.
And she threw it.
You need them to not have to react in any particular way for it
right.
to work.
Right.
And you also need to not assault them. So like a lot of room for improvement. Anyway, returning to our current point in the episode, time for Colton to come out. He, as we discussed, has a kind of weird look going on.
His hair was much darker.
It was
his hair was darker. He was darker. His suit was ill-fitting. His tie was too skinny. It was like Looney Tunes or something. It was weird.
And he did, his hair was like, I think had been trimmed and brushed.
But styled
forward.
Very oddly. I was confused.
It was, you guys, it was very George Clooney second season of ER. Like post-Caesar cut, but when he was like bringing it back. See, they agree with me.
True. Nick and Sarah are laughing really hard. So, I mean, like, it feels, someone tweeted that he was covering his hairline and that's why it looked weird. It does seem like maybe he wanted to cover his receding
temples. Well, why doesn't he just get Propecia or something?
And also it doesn't – well, fun fact, that only works for bald spots.
Oh, no kidding.
Not for, like, receding. But, like, I think receding hair at the temples is not a bad look.
It's fine. I actually – of all the things I ever noticed about Colton, a receding hairline's not one.
No, right. Not at all.
Like, I was never like, if he just covered up those two bits of temple
no.
there. And the result is that he actually looks awkward and young, like a child.
He did look
who's
young.
Who's been shoved into a suit
yes.
to be, like, the ring bearer.
Ring bearer! That's exactly what I said at home.
Yeah.
Where's
Poor
his
Colton.
Pillow?
Yeah, and he had the spray tan situation going on. It was just rough. But, like, the thing is he's, like, so attractive, like, a big hunk of, like, man that he can kind of get away with it. A
little bit.
But it was jarring.
But can I say, he's cute and all. Do you look at him and you're like, that's my husband?
Not me. Well, he's not me. But,
I'm
like.
Just saying.
He is not my type in the least.
No. Yeah. There's just something about him that doesn't say. I feel like he just has a lot to still work out.
Yeah. We come back to him in, like, 10 years, and he's, like, gaunt. And
yeah.
He's seen things.
He's seen some things.
he still feels very, like, a floppy puppy. So he sits down with Chris and makes a joke about running away again. But he won't. This part also made me realize, I mean, we knew this happened, but they're, like, spoiling that he's going to kind of
clearly he's gonna come back,
that he's gonna get back in the fold.
Yes,
spoilers.
It was a spoiler.
And Chris jokes about that, but like it actually is kind of a spoiler. you left us on this big cliffhanger of like we literally lost Colton and he's already back. Demi raises her hand to talk to Colton, and she says, which I think is actually astute, that she now realizes that he was looking to lead someone and she was leading him. And so she knows why she wasn't the one for him. And also she wants to introduce him to someone he's never talked to before, Courtney.
That was cruel.
It was so
unnecessary
and
mean
dumb.
And dumb. Like, stop.
That was
stop.
So where I told you guys, I really in the beginning was like, oh, Demi's like fun. She's bringing some one-liners. I was like, girl, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Quibble like, your head.
Yeah.
And then,
so bad.
But Courtney had the response that we all, that is literally the only way to shut something down. Steely silence.
Yeah. She just completely.
I'm glad she didn't
she
react
did not
to
engage.
It.
Yeah. And Colton obviously has no idea what's
yeah,
going on.
Yeah, he's like,
on.
What?
So
and
do we think that's true? I feel like, one, obvi he was watching backstage.
Was
I think
he,
he's like, think, I so. Absolutely think. And that's why I think that it was like, he was just like, milk a what? Like, I didn't. He's like, what is this? I must
he
have missed
something.
He was
busy in the shower eating Halo Top. He doesn't know what's going on.
Toweling off.
Then Kaylin brings up how she didn't really get closure. She wants to know how he knew it wasn't her because she felt it all the way until the moment he sent her home. And he says, The last rose ceremony was the hardest. It was no secret our relationship was special.
Special.
Special. We felt safety with each other. I had nothing to say at our breakup, and I felt terrible. I couldn't give you closure, and I don't know if I could say anything now that will.
And she was just like, shrug emoji.
Yeah, she was like, literally what?
She's like, wait, are you kidding me? Throw me a bone.
She's like, you've had months to think about this.
Just something.
I really can't believe he couldn't come up with anything. Like, you can literally just be like, I, in the end, felt more strongly for someone else. And right. I knew I didn't want to, like, keep you there and keep and end up disappointing you. There are lots of things you could say that don't, like, give a reason per se, but that still allow more closure than, I don't know.
He's like, got no closure for you.
Oh, what a jerk. Also, the stuff about how this is the hardest rose ceremony. Every rose ceremony is the hardest rose ceremony.
The
it
point
just
of
keeps
the show.
Getting harder until the end. Yeah, that's how it works. So Kaylin says, well, I guess it just comes down to I loved him and he didn't love me. That sucks. Aww. That's it.
Yeah, that was
true and sad.
Sad.
Yeah. And then Hannah B. Talks. Again, she doesn't seem that
she's not. I don't think she's playing it like
not.
She says
that getting her heart broken sucked.
I think she, getting rejected
but
sucked.
But she metamorphosized.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that she is kind of like presenting a narrative in which she was deeply heartbroken, but it's not like
it's
coming.
It's clear off. She was not.
It's clear
yeah.
that she right. was not. She's smiling. She's like,
retroactively heartbroken.
Right. Right. And she's like, basically is like, why did you bring me to meet your family if you were going to send me
it's
home?
It's part of the show.
And then she's like, actually not even asking that. She's like, well, why did you do that? And then she's like, well, but then again, I guess you have to do it the way that is necessary for you. And like, it sucked to get my heart broken, but I grew as a person. I hope you're happy and that someone chooses you every day and that you choose her back. And I hope that you and I are cool.
And I hope it's Carrie Bradshaw.
I mean, she's just
she talks herself in and out of so many questions. And then it's just like,
that was my statement.
That was it. And then Colton's like, that wasn't a question, but like, here's a statement,
right.
I guess. And it's like, I basically could have done things better as Bachelor, but I'm learning. So they have a nice, neat resolution to their relationship.
And then we get to the sexual innuendo portion. Sydney brings up the weed whacking comment. Well, doesn't
that was very uncomfortable. They should have edited that out.
Super weird.
Yeah.
She's like, are you still a virgin? And he sidesteps the question and is like, but wait, what does whack my weeds really mean?
She's like, I know you're not the best with sexual innuendo, so I'm going to ask this really clearly. And that clearly reminds him of the sexual innuendo
that he did not understand.
And she's like, I can't say that on TV, but let me re-ask you the virgin question in a bunch of new sexual innuendos. And like, has anyone picked your flower? Did you plant any seeds?
Plant the seeds.
And he's like,
it's literally not what it means.
It's, I hope not. Honestly, like, it's a little early for that.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, listen, it's really snowy in Denver. The ground is frozen. And Chris is like, oh my God. Like, I need
Chris
to
is like,
stop.
And next week.
And then just polls the women to see if they think he's
is
still
Colton
a virgin.
Is Colton a virgin? Okay, moving on.
Demi's like, you missed out on a fantasy suite with me. And Colton's like, whoa, what? Like,
she's like, all this, like rubbing herself.
Like, okay, we get it.
Like, he clearly knew what would be in store. Like, every single time they hung out together was like a little sexual prelude.
Yes.
So then we have bloopers, which is where we learn that Colton says nailed it all the time.
All the time. It was the only funny, real funny thing about the bloopers. The bloopers weren't that funny.
No. I mean, I feel like they have incorporated a few more bloopery things into the season this year,
yeah.
which I like. It made the bloopers themselves feel less critical to the lightheartedness of the season. But that was the main takeaway, yes, that Colton loves saying nailed it. And then we get, like, a 9-minute long teaser for next week.
Like,
I'm
what's
excited.
Left?
I'm very excited.
I can't wait because I want to relive the Blair Witch Project running through the dark scene. I mean, I've never seen anything.
It was very Blair Witch Project.
And Chris is like, and he went into the Portuguese countryside. And I was like, What? Okay.
He could still be there, except he's not.
Except
right here
he's
next
here.
To me.
I just
want
to
see
really
how they found
the drama.
Him. Did they find him at a bodega? Like, I just can't wait to see how it all went
we
down.
We see him, like, kind of coming up to a, it looked like a producer, like a female producer, and like, hugging her.
Yeah.
So we do see, like, snippets of what is clearly kind of them reuniting with him, but it's not
and
totally
to
clear
calm down.
What
right.
the, like, breakdown of that
I
is.
Hope that he, like, tried to check himself into another hotel. Like, next, like, yeah.
Like, literally was on the lam. Like, right. was like, I'm out.
I mean, wow. I'm like, I've never been so
again,
aware of the
have...
fact that The Bachelor is basically kidnapping.
Yeah.
Like, they have no rights.
He had to jump a fence to escape.
Right.
I'm, like, still wondering if he had Apple Pay or something on his phone. Because, like, what did he think he was
totally
going to do?
We see some previews of him talking to his dad and to Chris and Tayshia and Hannah being like, I love Colton. I'm so ready to see what happens. This, I didn't actually cry last, like, on Monday night. I heard that people found it very emotional, and I, like, found it emotional sort of objectively, but it was when we saw Colton crying and hugging the producer that I started crying in that.
So
in that
I agree.
Clip.
You know, the problem is they manipulated our emotions a little too long.
Yeah.
They needed to cut that convo in the cabana down by like 5 minutes because now I started getting annoyed. I'm like, we get what's happening. Speed it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's true. I feel like usually when I cry at The Bachelor, it's because of something that's like really just hits. Like
right. Just happened.
Yeah, that's true.
Not this like very
like
labored.
Trench warfare.
I don't know. I'm so confused. What do I do? Don't go, but I have to go. I mean, like, I get all that. Like, because when they get in the car is normally when I'm like, oh, my God. This time I was like, praise be, it's over.
Yeah, and it felt sort of like action movie-y. Like,
it was action movie-y.
I was like, we're building up to him, like, going on the run. Whereas when you see him, like, returning to the arms of his, like, evil family,
yes.
The Bachelor, that I found very emotional. I was like, he's too broken to even run.
To even run.
It was very
he just
emotional.
Needed,
he needed
to collect
needed
himself. Well, that's where I said I thought
oh,
he had.
I was crying.
I'm not crying.
No, that's where I thought he had IBS. I'm like, he got so triggered that he had to run up to his room, go to the bathroom so that he could then run away.
Yeah, and, like, get his, like, car keys or whatever.
Together,
yeah. He was like, I need some
grab
stuff.
A banana, put it in his back pocket, and just go for it.
It was like running away from home as a five-year-old. It's like, what do I have that will be useful out in the real world?
Exactly.
A scarf, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, so I am excited, as cruel as it sounds, to watch all this happen next week.
Are you
week.
Kidding? You guys, I'm West Coast, and I've already – don't worry. Don't worry.
Wow.
My book events out west will be done in time for me to evacuate quickly to the hotel so I can watch The Bachelor.
I'm like, you got
no, it's a real
look,
thing.
Priority.
It's a real thing. Yeah.
You can't miss the finale.
No.
I mean,
I cannot.
Be you.
No.
Yeah.
Guys, don't worry.
You can't ever change who you
My
are.
My tweeting will
down.
Just be on Pacific time. So nobody worry about me. I will be there.
Yes. And this
yeah,
is...
just go. Don't go on Twitter before or else you'll get
no,
spoiled.
No. Can't spoil. Can't spoil.
Well, she'll be distracted, fortunately.
Yeah. Thanks. That's good.
Thanks to the book. And this is a good reminder that your new book is out now. Everyone should check it out.
So here's the thing.
So here's the thing.
Growing up, getting older, and trusting your gut.
Thank you, guys.
Can you tell us just briefly a little bit about the book and why
people
should
read it? Oh, so the book is – so when I did the first book, it was about sort of my – you know, how I got to be in the White House, blah, 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 blah. And this one
details.
Feedback. I got a lot of feedback from the first book about topics that a lot of women considered sort of underserved. Mm. And so this book is a series of essays about some of those topics. Everything from finding the right underwear to
a real challenge.
There are some finding the right underwear, how Jennifer Aniston got me through a very difficult time in my life, even though I don't know her. So that's it. It's pretty, I will say, it's funny. It'll make you feel good. And
I can't
it's a
wait
quick
to read.
Read
it. We both have copies on our desk.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Enjoy.
And it's there's a really cute cover where I want your pink blazer. Like, there's
just
a lot to dig
important
into.
Things.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. And this
guys,
is,
women contain multitudes,
this is
okay?
Arguably my favorite stop on book tour, so thank you.
Oh, we are so honored. It's so wonderful to finally meet you in person.
Yes.
Guys, I'm your super fan.
I mean, we're your super fans, so it's mutual. Oh my God.
Let's get our own show.
Please come back anytime.
You're never going to get rid of me.
Good.
Wait till Batch in Paradise.
Oh my gosh. Please come back.
My fave.
I can't wait. It's going to be a great summer. So thank you again, and good luck with the rest of your tour.
Yeah. Thank you.
So now it's time for Feminism Fails. I think we got into the nitty-gritty of the many feminism fails last night during our recap, so we don't need to, like, quite retread that.
Yeah, but don't commit even light pacifier-themed assault. That's assault is always a five.
Don't be needlessly cruel to other women. Don't, you know, call women cougars pejoratively. Just all of these things. You know, one giant women screaming over each other, five-star feminism fail.
Yeah. I'm tired after that episode.
I'm so
tired.
I've
got nothing left. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Alyssa Mastromonaco, and to our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a moment of Colton season recaps. And of course, give us a 5-star rating and review. Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod. And you can also follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon. We'll be back next week for a glorious 2-night finale.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.